Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ. Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, on this Sabbath morning, we want to thank you so much for this blessing of music, for the blessing of these young people. And we pray for their ministry, we pray for their learning, that in each of those who are teaching them, that they will learn about you, and that they will continue this ministry to bless others. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1998, the Nike World Masters Games that were held in Portland, Oregon, Ben Levinson made history by winning a gold medal. Now, this was an event, a track and field event, and it attracted about 12,000 people from athletes from 120 countries of the world. Ben threw the shot put, which is an 8.5-pound steel ball, 10 feet and 1 1/4 inches. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, except that Ben was 103 years old when he did this. But you know, this really wasn't his greatest accomplishment, because at 80 years old, or at 90 years old, Ben was an old man. He was depressed, he was feeble, he was frail, he shuffled about, and he was just waiting for the end. And then he hooked up with a trainer who told him, you know, Ben, how would you like to feel 80 again? How many of us would like to feel 80 years old? I suppose if you're 90 years old, to feel 80 might be a blessing. But this trainer put Ben onto an exercise program of 20 minutes of walking a day and some simple weight training. And he was soon a new man. And 13 years later, he would win the gold medal at shot put in his class of centenarians, people over 100 years old. And as far as I know, that record holds today. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. Mark 12, starting with verse 28. Mark 12, 28. Then one of the scribes came to him, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he, speaking about Jesus, answered them well. He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And by the first commandment, he means the most important commandment. Now, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6:5 when he said, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now notice that Jesus is talking about different aspects of human experience here. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart, and all your strength. If you read Deuteronomy 6:5, doesn't include strength. Jesus added this. Now, how can we love the Lord our God with all these different aspects? These are a lot like facets of humans, a lot like gemstones. You know, some of us are wearing gemstones, some of us are not. But if you look at a gemstone, you can see that it has cut surfaces on it. Those are called facets. Okay. And a facet captures and reflects the light. It's what makes that gemstone brilliant. We also look at clarity, and we look at color and various other things. But this gemstone is capturing and reflecting the light, just as we would do if we were, if we were good Christians. We would be capturing the light of Christ and reflecting it. But it's interesting that here we have these different aspects. Now, how can we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength? Let's start with our strength. This is the aspect that Jesus added a little bit later. Romans 12:1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So how do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to develop these. These may, just like a gemstone, it may have a quality inside, but when you look at it, when it's mined from the ground, it looks like a rock like any other rock. Only a trained mind is going to be able to tell the difference between a gemstone and just a piece of gravel. And this master will cut away those parts of that stone that don't reflect or that won't reflect the light, and will cut away and will put in these facets, these cut surfaces that will reflect the light. So physical health is the first step in serving our God with all of our strength. So how do we develop our physical health? We're Adventists. We should know this. This is all a review for you. There's various different things that we can do. How about drinking water? Pure water. Not water that's adulterated with flavorings and carbonation and sugar and perhaps stimulants, but pure water. Do you know that our bodies are made up of 70% water? And our brains are made up of 85% water? If you want real brain food, drink water, right? Fresh air, oxygen. We're burning energy at this moment, and the way we do that is by inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. It's important for metabolism, for respiration. Very simple, but we need to get fresh air, outside air. Now, I'm a plant scientist, and I study plants, and I study their interactions with their environment, and I understand about the process of photosynthesis and how that puts oxygen out into the air. It absorbs carbon dioxide. What we exhale, plants will absorb, and will, through the process of photosynthesis, convert that back into an energy source that we can eat, but it will also exhale oxygen. So it's important that we get out there near the plants and absorb that oxygen that they're putting out there. And of course, photosynthesis requires what? Sunshine, right? So do we. Even though most of us are not photosynthesizing at this moment. It's important that we get sunshine. We need about 10 to 20 minutes of direct sunshine on our face and hands per day, more or less. And we're not going to get that sitting in front of a screen. So if we're sitting in front of a screen, and I don't care whether it's a television or a computer or what have you, we're not getting that sunshine that we need. You know, there's a... I'm sorry?
Preach.
I'm not getting the sunshine preaching up here. I need to get you out there. In the northern climates, there's a problem that's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. And you know what that's caused from? Lack of sunshine, exactly. The sun causes our bodies to produce serotonin, which reduces depression and fatigue. It also regulates our daily cycle, our sleep patterns, and so forth. Sunshine is also an important source of vitamin D. And vitamin D is very important for the absorption and the metabolism of calcium. So in other words, standing in the sun will give us stronger bones and teeth, right? Now we can overdo it. So you've heard about the problems of skin cancer and so forth, which can be caused by sunshine, but that's overexposure. Getting a few minutes of sunshine every day is healthy. Rest. Most adults need 7 to 8 hours of rest a night. Children more. And sometimes we don't get that when we're busy, but it's very important that we get this rest. And we also need a weekly rest of 24 hours. The Lord put that into our weekly cycle for a purpose. Now, the next on my list is nutrition. And this is very close to my heart because I work in plant nutrition. And for me, I work in the health, starting with the health of soils. How can I make a soil more healthy? You know, I work with farmers and work with them on fertility and the various different aspects of the soil to make that soil more healthy. From healthy soils come healthy plants. From healthy plants come healthy people and animals that eat those plants. So nutrition is very important. Now, plants are very different than humans. Plants can absorb inorganic nutrients and convert them into carbohydrates and proteins and vitamins and so forth. We can't do that. We need to get these various nutrients in our diet. We can't make protein. We can't make carbohydrates. And so we have to get a proper balance of those in our diets. Minerals and phytochemicals. Now, don't be put off by a long word like phytochemical. You know what chemical means. Phyto just means plant. So it's a plant-produced chemical. And vitamins are phytochemicals, but there are many others that are very good for us. Now think of deep, dark, rich, red, rich colors. Okay, the darker, the deeper, the richer the color, the more concentrated the nutrients are in that fruit or that vegetable. Think of reds. What sort of plants put off, what sort of parts of plants do we eat that are red? Carrots? No. Unless it's red carrots, I suppose. Strawberries? Tomatoes? Cranberries? Red peppers? Yes. Pomegranates? Watermelons? These different plants contain what is called lycopene. Lycopene is the part of the red pigment inside of the plant cells. The lycopene is a powerful cancer protective phytochemical. So we need to eat lots of dark red fruits and vegetables. Think of deep oranges and yellows. What sort of plants would have orange fruits and vegetables? You said carrots. Yes. Carrots? What else? Oranges? Yes. Squash? Cantaloupe? Peaches? Papayas? Mangoes? The orange color are called carotenoids. Again, don't be put off by this. It's vitamin A. Okay? Emerald greens, deep dark greens. What kind of plants are those? Spinach, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, kale, yes. Leafy vegetables. Now, I've heard that a vegetarian diet is low in protein. Have you heard that? It's not. Did you know that baby leaf vegetables can contain as much as 20% protein in the leaf? 20% protein? And think of cows and horses. What do they eat all day? Grass? Hay? They don't eat meat. And they seem to grow big and fat on leafy greens. We can as well. Sapphire blues, amethyst purples. What are blues and purples? Grapes, yes. Eggplant. Blueberries. Blueberries are full of beneficial phytochemicals. Red cabbage or purple cabbage? Yes. What about white? Pearly white. Cauliflower, yes. Potatoes. Potatoes are an important source of carbohydrates, which is an important source of nutrients or energy for us. Onions, garlic. I know, I'm making you hungry, aren't I? What about milk? Milk products. They're full of protein, but they're also a good source of calcium, of phosphorus, and of B vitamins. Very important. Now, there are some that like to go with a completely vegetable diet, okay, and nothing but a vegetable diet. And the experts will tell us that, you know, it's hard to completely balance our diet with nothing but vegetables and fruits. We need B vitamins, which are not found in anything but, well, they're not very rich in anything but animal products. So milk and milk products are good in that regard. If you want to go with a completely vegan or vegetable diet, then supplementation is going to be required, especially in the B vitamins. Okay, think of golden browns. Grains, wheat, barley, tater tots, yeah, there you go. Actually, the skin of the potato is brown, and it's full of nutrients. That's what you meant. Yes. Also, the legumes. What are legumes? Lentils, peas, beans. Those are also a very good source of protein. So you can see you can balance your diet. And if we eat these foods with minimal processing, we can actually significantly reduce our risk of many diseases. Okay, let's go back to Ben Levinson for a moment. What did he do to become so healthy at 100 years old? You know, when he threw the shot put, I looked it up on the internet, he had a t-shirt on, and the t-shirt said, "Oh, to be 100 again." Can imagine that. Oh, to be 100 again. But exercise was a very important part of his daily routine, as it should be for ours. Think of a simple acronym called FIT, F-I-T. FIT stands for frequency, intensity, and time. Okay, if we want to be physically fit, the more frequently we exercise, the greater the intensity within proper balance or proper limits, and the duration or the amount of time we spend can improve our physical fitness. This is very important. And we can also apply this to many other aspects of our life as well. Frequency, intensity, and time. Now, with exercise, we should exercise preferably every day, two or three times, perhaps four times a week is okay. Intensity must be appropriate for our age and our fitness level, and the amount of time, 20, 30 minutes minimal, 60 minutes if you can. Get out from behind that screen, go outside, get some fresh air, get some sunshine, and exercise, and do a type of exercise that you will enjoy. I had a gentleman tell me one time that he didn't like to jog because he never saw a jogger with a smile on his face. That's why I don't jog. I love to walk, and walking is actually good for your bones. Your bones need that little bit of stress that comes from the walking. I like to bike ride, and actually walking is better for the bones than biking because you don't have that pounding or so, you know, it's not heavy pounding, but that stress on your bones and on your muscles that give you that strength. Because our bodies need a little bit of stress in order to become more fit. Is that correct? Now, what about our minds? Jesus said that we need to love the Lord our God with all of our minds. How can we develop our minds? If we read in Romans 12:3, Paul says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will of God." By the renewing of our mind, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our minds? Learning. Education. We never get too old to learn. Is that right? And we can think of, we can apply this frequency, intensity, and time acronym to our learning as well. How frequently do we go out and try to learn something new or different? How intensely do we go in to study that, whatever that is? How much time do we put into it? You see, if we're going to learn, and young people, you do this every day. Us old people, you know, we kind of become decrepit, you know, and we don't, we get to a point where we don't want to learn anymore. We know everything there is to know, right? No, we don't. Another thing about our minds is our attitudes. Optimism, encouragement. Let me read you a little story. This comes from Signs of the Times, the May 2009 edition. Encouragers shine light into dark places. Encouragers know they can't light the entire world, but they work to light the small part of the world that they are in. They are adept at shining light into the dark places they encounter. And the article goes on to talk about a lady by the name of Catherine Laws. Now, her husband, Lewis Laws, was the warden of Sing Sing Prison. And this is a prison that's filled with hardened criminals. He was the warden starting in 1921. And the officials of this prison told Catherine, his wife, never to set foot inside the prison walls. Now, she had three young children at the time, and she ignored that advice. When they held their first prison basketball game, she was there with her three young children, sitting among the inmates in the bleachers, watching the basketball game. She discovered that one convicted murderer was blind, so she taught him Braille. On another occasion, she visited a prisoner who was hearing impaired, and she taught him sign language. She offered hope and encouragement to these prisoners. And then, in 1937, she was killed in a car crash. Says the word of her death quickly spread from cell to cell. Groups of prisoners gathered together on the prison grounds, many with tears flowing. One of Warden Law's associates knew the prisoners were sad and grieving. Because Mrs. Law's body rested in a casket at their home, 3/4 of a mile away from the prison, he permitted the prisoners to march over to the house, saying, "Just be sure you check back in." Can you imagine that happening today? The prison gate was opened, and the long line of prisoners walked without guards to the house, where they paid their final respects to Catherine Laws. Every prisoner checked back in later that day. It was the ultimate expression of their respect for a woman whose life shone light into the darkest of places. We can be encouragers to others. And this is how we can love others as we love ourselves. You see, all these different aspects are intertwined. They're all hooked together. You know, when we want to spend time with our families, we can come to church and spend time with God at the same time, right? Our heart. Loving others as ourselves. We can apply the FIT acronym to that as well. How frequently do we spend time with those we love? How intensely do we spend time with them in close communication with them, perhaps across the table with a meal? How much time do we do this? Frequency, intensity, and time. And then finally, our souls. How much time do we spend in developing our souls? How frequently do we do this? How much intensity do we put there? That is our relationship with God. In Revelation, we're going to have a... You can come up and begin to assemble for the postlude. In Revelation 3, verse 20, we read, and this is a text that I'm sure is familiar to all of you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine having a knock at the door and seeing Jesus there, inviting him in? Perhaps make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or a bowl of soup, or some of the fruits and vegetables that we talked about a little earlier. But imagine sitting across the table with Jesus and looking him in the eye and asking him all those questions that we want to know the answers to. And I'm sure he'll have a few questions for us. Can you imagine being one-on-one with Jesus? How much time do we spend in that place? Because we can do that today. We can open our hearts and invite Jesus in, and he can dine with us on spiritual food. This is something that is our prayer, my prayer for each and every one of us, that we will invite Jesus into our hearts, and we will spend intense, close contact with him, that we will take time out of our busy days, and we will do this frequently. And in this way, we can be fit for eternity. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing your Spirit into this sanctuary this morning. We thank you so much for each and every person who's here to dine on your word. We pray that you will be with us in our spirits, in our souls, in our minds, in our bodies, in our hearts, that we will learn, we will gain a closer relationship with you, and that like the gemstone, that we will reflect your light off of these various aspects, these various different facets of you, that you have developed in us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.